morning, Reeves versus Jewel Food Company.
Morning, Your Honors. Let me first say, Your Honors, that this lawsuit was brought not as a criticism of the policies of the Jewel food companies. Actually, we commend the policies of the Jewel food companies in their hiring of disabled people.
Counsel, could you pull that microphone?
Oh, I'm sorry. To you? Is this better, Your Honor?
Well, just pull it to you.
There you go. Can you hear me now? Sorry about that. I was saying that we bring this lawsuit for this individual case, Sean Reeves, but we commend the Jewel food companies for its policies relative to the hiring of disabled people. And in this particular case, we believe that Jewel simply made a mistake. And so did the district court. The question before this court is one of whether or not the conversation, one of the questions before this court is whether or not the conversation between Mrs. Reeves and the manager at Jewel in the requesting of the reasonable accommodation of a job coach 8 years after Sean Reeves had been employed by Jewel, and when he had received when he had obtained a job coach initially, was really a request for a reasonable accommodation, or as the defense in this case and as the district court found, merely a suggestion, and that the Jewel officials said that, well, it would not be necessary. We submit to you, as our papers have indicated, that not only the law of this circuit would hold that this specific use of a particular word relative to requesting a reasonable accommodation is not necessary. The facts surrounding the request by Mrs. Reeves constitute a question of fact, and not certainly subject to summary judgment as the district court held. Given the facts surrounding the request by Mrs. Reeves that a job coach be taken into consideration. Again, that was at a time when Sean had been there for some 8 years and had erroneously thought that a pin flag, that was in one of the bags or one of the containers at the checkout counters for a Jewel were free for all employees, when in fact they were being sold to the public. And because he had seen the various employees wearing this pin flag, and he was written up for that, and it was at that juncture that she met with the manager and made this request for accommodation.
Mr. Gold, did Mrs. Reeves see the write-up itself?
I'm sorry, what?
Did Mrs. Gold see the write-up itself on the flag pin incident?
Has she seen it, or did she see it?
Did she see it at the time?
At the time that she made the request, either she saw it or she was told about it. I don't know if she testified. I know she had seen it. She has seen it. But whether she saw it prior to the time that she made the request, I don't think that the record is clear on that. If it is, I don't recall.
But she was aware, wasn't she, of the type of behavior that had brought that to that had made the discussion occur, right? That it was the tape
of
the pen. But the type of behavior for which the termination was imposed was quite a different type of behavior, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was a vocal reaction to.
Yes. I can say that.
I guess what I'm having trouble with is how a job coach would have helped. Coach for this pen problem, how that would have had any bearing on the other behavior.
Well, there had been a couple of incidences, I think even prior to the flag incident, that she justifiably was concerned that perhaps his behavior at the job in many ways was deteriorating. And, you know, you're quite right. What does a flag got to do with the fact that he swore under his breath at some co-employee? You know, for 8 years she had received daily reports, as I'm sure you've seen in the record. So we're talking about parents who were extremely involved in their disabled child to the extent of a daily basis. So if you take that into consideration and you assume that they know their child quite well, an isolated incident like a pin, an allegedly stolen pin, and a swearing under your breath at walking away from a underage co-worker who was requesting help to get some liquor through the cash register, it's maybe a red flag. And so it triggered her, at least that's what the testimony would be at trial, if we had the opportunity, it triggered her concerns and her need or her request for the accommodation. Okay? I mean, no specific incident tracks the other one. Like, if you recall in the record, there were incidents where Sean would direct the traffic in the parking lot. Why, and that wasn't part of his job. So these are incidents that, if you have a disabled child, I suspect you would recognize and say this could lead to other things, and maybe we ought to do what we feel is necessary to stop it.
Mr. Gold, can I ask you what concerns me here, in essence, is the tension between the written write-up over the flag pin incident, which ends, this will serve as an incident report. The next incident will result in termination of employment. With Mrs. Reeves' conversation with Sean's supervisors after that, where they say, don't worry, the job coach is not necessary. And there's obviously some tension between those two points. I'm wondering to what extent that tension might have been brought to the attention of the district court.
Well, certainly the district court had before it the entire record. And we emphasized, I thought we did, in our response to the motion for summary judgment, those conversations. And indeed, the district court's opinion comes down with, when Mrs. Reeves was told it won't be necessary, she did nothing further. Well, you know, won't be necessary in my view, or in our view, or at least in the, we would hope, the trier of facts view, is a no. It won't be necessary is the equivalent of a no. We're not, no, there's not going to be the accommodation of a job coach. Now, if she presses it, if Mrs. Reeves presses it at that point, when already there's been a problem, or a couple of them over the, you know, in the last year of his 8-year tenure there, might that, you know, in her mind, might that lead to a definite termination? Don't forget, if you, in this record, Sean Reeves was fired within 5 to 10 minutes of a report of the swearing incident. The co-worker runs upstairs to the manager at the time and reports it. And after 8 years, in 5 minutes, the decision is made. And he wasn't represented for whatever that means, and I don't know, quite frankly, what the law would, we could get that into evidence if we had a trial. But he was unrepresented at that short interview before he was terminated. And my recollection is that the terminating manager at the time did not even, although she had the files, she had the files in her office, did not even go to the files when I took her deposition. And,
thank you.
I'm sorry?
Thank you.
Oh, I'm through?
Your time is expired, Mr.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. My name is Gwendolyn Morales, appearing on behalf of Defendant Appellee Jewel Food Stores in this matter. Your Honors, I'd like to start right in with, actually, I'd like to first start by thanking Mr. Reeves for his 8 years of employment and service to Jewel. You know, the fact that Jewel was in a position to terminate his employment does not detract from the fact that Sean worked very faithfully for Jewel for 8 years, as did his parents. Worked very hard on a daily basis to work with Jewel to accommodate him.
Counsel, I'm going to ask you to do the same thing if you pull that microphone
sure.
a little closer to you.
Sure thing. Is this better?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Sean Reeves was terminated for an act of serious misconduct. On the sales floor, in front of coworkers and witnesses, he swore at a cashier, an underage girl, 18, 19, 20-year-old girl. He said, "F you, stupid blonde." Now, prior to that incident, as I alluded to, Mr. Reeves had worked for Jewel for 8 years. And during his employment, throughout his employment, he was accommodated by Jewel in multiple ways. The accommodations began with the very fact of his employment. Mrs. Reeves actually testified in her deposition that she did not believe Sean would have been hired by Jewel or would have been able to maintain his employment by Jewel if Jewel had not applied different standards to him than it did to other employees. Mr. Reeves was provided a job coach at the beginning of his employment. Mr. Reeves was accommodated on a daily basis by his supervisors completing daily evaluation sheets to inform his parents of his behavior. And
would a job coach, was that something that Jewel paid for, somebody they paid for? Was it a service from a state rehabilitation
agency? It was a service from a state rehabilitation agency or paid for by a state rehabilitation agency. It's stipulated here that Jewel would have no obligation to seek out or obtain or pay for a job coach as an accommodation.
I assume that was the assumption at the time that Mrs. Reeves asked for or suggested a job coach after the flag pin incident?
The Reeves have stipulated that Jewel would have no obligation to seek out a job coach.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, the panel had noted, and actually appellant's counsel had noted, that the Reeves were very involved in Sean's employment, and part of this was the daily evaluation sheets. They were apprised on a daily basis about his job performance issues as they arose. And on a daily basis as well, Mr. Reeves' supervisors worked with him closely to coach him and help him with his daily tasks as well as his behavior and interacting appropriately with customers, coworkers, keeping his behavior in check. Now, despite all these accommodations and returning to his termination, it's not disputed in this matter that Sean Reeves swore at his coworker. None of this is disputed. It's not disputed that he was terminated for that incident. It's not disputed that it was appropriate, that this conduct was inappropriate for the workplace, and that it was appropriate under Juul's policies to terminate an employee for this conduct. In short, the Reeves are not claiming on this appeal, there's no longer a claim in this action that Sean's termination was discriminatory or wrongful. Appellant's counsel raised some issues regarding the process by which Mr. Reeves was terminated, but none of that is at issue here. The Reeves have waived that claim on summary judgment, and they've waived it on appeal. The only claim in this matter is the appellant's claim that Mr. Reeves was denied a reasonable accommodation, specifically with regard to Ms. Reeves' suggestion that he work with a job coach following the incident where he stole a flag pin. And as the panel recognized, I believe Judge Tinder noted that the key here is that there's no evidence in the record that that would have been an accommodation that would have been effective in preventing the specific conduct that led to his termination. And that's really the key here. A reasonable accommodation under the law is one that is effective. There's no evidence that a job coach or any other accommodation could have prevented Sean from lashing out at his coworker in that instance.
And that gets us to what's the report of the job coach, Ms. Marks?
Yes, Your Honor. And the district court correctly concluded that that did not meet the reliability standards of Rule 702 and Daubert because it simply was not based on sufficient facts and data. It was not based on reliable methods.
What did the district judge say about that?
That the plaintiffs had not shown that it met the standard for admissibility under Rule 702 and Daubert.
Did it say any more than that?
Well, Your Honor, it did point to the Ammons case, which sets out the framework for analyzing expert testimony, namely that it be reliable and relevant. And you know, it's very clear, looking at Ms. Marks' testimony, that it doesn't meet those standards. Ms. Marks testified that had Mr. Reeves been provided a job coach, he more likely than not would have not engaged in the conduct that led to his termination. And she testified that that was based on her assessment that 90% of the time job coaching works. Now, this wasn't based on reliable statistical methods. She didn't conduct any statistical studies. She also didn't rely on any studies because, as she admitted, there are no such studies about the effectiveness of job coaching. Ms. Marks' testimony is also, or her opinion, is not based on sufficient facts and data regarding Mr. Reeves in particular and his work at Juul. Ms. Marks only worked with Mr. Reeves in context of his subsequent employment. She only worked with him beginning 7 years after his termination in connection with his employment at Protected Tomorrows, which is a very different organization. His tasks are very different. And she admitted that at the end of the day, or it's impossible to know how an individual will react to a given situation. She admitted that although she believes job coaching is effective, ultimately we will never know.
Well, sure, but I mean, a fair amount of money gets spent on job coaches with the assumption that they're beneficial, right? She's one of those people. And even if you can't quantify things precisely statistically, that's true of a lot of medicine as well.
Well, I think it's important to distinguish, Your Honor, the context where a job coach is usually provided and the context where Sean Reeves likely worked with a job coach in the beginning of his employment. Usually, you know, with mentally disabled individuals, and that's what Ms. Marks was testifying with regard to her work with mentally disabled individuals, a job coach would be provided at the outset of employment. Ms. Marks testified she usually works with her clients.
And that happened here.
Mm-hmm. First 90 to 180 days. And the idea is to provide them a structure to help the employee learn how to perform the tasks of their job and really become independent doing it so that they can then fade away. So it's really, the idea is a very task-based coaching. And that's indeed the type of coaching Ms. Marks provided Sean at Protected Tomorrows. It was some guidance in helping him with his task of taking out the recycling, performing the filing duties. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to imagine how a job coach could have prevented Sean from lashing out at his coworker in that moment, especially considering, Your Honor, that actually once Sean was no longer working with an outside job coach, his supervisors were performing a daily coaching role. They were working with him one-on-one in a way that they didn't work with other employees. And his supervisors were working closely with him on his behavior and to help him interact with customers.
Presumably that was successful, right?
For the 8 years of his employment.
Yeah, and I guess look, Tiger Woods has gone back to coaches to work on his swing after winning many major tournaments. It's not as though, you know, once you get coached, you never need it again.
Well, sure, Your Honor. That's true. In here, though, there was never.
I thought you were arguing, in essence, he only needed a job coach at the beginning.
Well, we're arguing that there. Jewel did not refuse a request for a job coach. Had Mrs. Reeves indicated
that's a different issue.
Yeah, had Mrs. Reeves indicated that she really wanted a job coach, there's no indication in the record that Jewel would have refused to provide one. As you note, he worked with one before, so there's no evidence that Jewel refused, that Jewel's supervisor, that Mr. Reeves' supervisor's statement of her opinion that one was not necessary at that point, in the context of Mr. Reeves stealing the pin. There's no indication that that statement that a job coach was not necessary to deal with that specific issue constituted a refusal of an actual request for a job coach. I see my time
is up.
Thank
you, Counsel. Mr. Gold, I'll give you another minute if you have something you wanted to add.
The last issue.
You have a minute to address it.
Just as to the issue raised by way of the mention of discrimination, again, I would direct the court to 42 U.S. 1212B5A, which, when defining the word discrimination, it says it includes not making a reasonable accommodation. So the word discrimination is prevalent throughout our complaint and throughout this litigation. As to the ability of Jennifer Marks to testify or opine based upon her experience as a job coach, and the district court's, I would say, short explanation of why he felt that Daubert was not complied with, I would only add to this and to what we've said in our papers, that whether or not Jennifer Marks' opinion would be given great weight or any weight goes to the weight to be given to her opinion and not to her competence to testify under Daubert. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gold. Thanks to both counsel.